Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day. Well, the Olympics kicked off for Australia with an impressive win for the Matildas last night, but sadly was lost in all the fallout over John Coates' attempt at humour, as he's described it. In footy, the debate over Alistair Clarkson flared again last night with Caroline Wilson lining up Sam Mitchell. But Scoop, enough of that. You've all had your say and we wait to see how it unfolds. So round 19 kicks off tomorrow night. No Thursday night footy. So we begin on Friday night with the Pies and Port Adelaide. Every game is important between now and the end of the year in its own way. And Carlton and North Melbourne have an unlikely spot in the eight riding on it if they, the Blues, can get on a winning run. Then they have the Saints, the Suns, Port Adelaide and the Giants. It's a relatively good draw if you're looking for a big winning run, and they need to win four of five and they'll probably make it. Which begs the question, what does David Teague, Scoop, need to do to keep his job? Has he done enough already? If he beats the Kangaroos, that's four out of five. Surely that's enough. Or does he need to make finals? Or is it irrelevant? Because you want change and you want a big name like Clarkson or Ross Lyon to take over. Interesting times at Carlton. It all begins in round 19. 13, 13, 32 is a Harcourt's open line. Your thoughts, Carlton supporters, you've got an open forum. Where is David Teague in the pantheon of keeping his job, or the debate over whether or not he should keep his job as it sits right now? 13, 13, 32 is the number. Scoop McClure, welcome to you. Has David Teague done enough?
Hello, Jared. Bit to take out of that editorial. I'll start from the top. You talked about the big game tomorrow night between Port Adelaide and the Pies. Mm-hmm. Three big ins for Port, if you don't mind. Rosie, Dersma, Butters.
Big ins.
All big ins, not just for that game, but as they head towards a really important final series for that footy club.
And a good scoop from you early, because the teams aren't even out.
And you mentioned the Olympics. Kaylee McEwen has pulled out of the 200 IM, which is a pretty big story. She's the world number one in the event and favourite, but she's going to concentrate on the 100-metre and the 200-metre backstroke events. The Australian swim head coach, Rowan Taylor, said it was a big call and that it is to pull out of it. So watch that one very closely. Finally, has David Teague done enough? No, I don't think he has. The wins are only relative because he had a lack of them in the first half of the year.
But if you make finals, surely.
Yeah, I think if they were to make finals, it would be very hard to move him on. But this is more about the review of the footy department for me. And the other thing, Jared, which I find fascinating is, are we really sitting here saying that potentially both of Alistair Clarkson and Ross Lyon are available and Carlton are going to be coached by neither of them for next year?
I don't think Alistair Clarkson is available. You do, and
he's available.
Okay, he's available.
Well, I mean, he couldn't not be. He's in the last year of his contract and Hawthorn have already said that they've got the next coach. If you would offer Alistair Clarkson a five-year deal, he'd have to come, wouldn't he?
Well, not if he wants 12 months off next year. Okay. So, well, as I said, you've all had your say. Mm-hmm. We'll sit and wait to see what happens. And
do you think that David Teague's done enough right now?
I think it's going to be very difficult. In fact, I'd say almost impossible for David Teague not to be given the opportunity to finish his contract. And bear in mind, he's still got a year to go.
Yep.
If he plays finals. If he gets close to finals, I would say probably exactly the same thing. So it is interesting. If he beats the Kangaroos, that's four out of five.
Yep.
They beat the Suns and the Saints. I mean, it's a pretty good finish. He has been promising that he will improve defence. He's improved defence. He has promised that he will get the connection between the forward line and the back line. He's done that. He's promised that he will protect the ball on turnover. He hasn't done that. That's the big requirement that needs to be improved.
13, 13, 32 is the Harcourt's open line number. Chris is in Templestowe. Start us off, Chris.
G'day, guys. Look, I've been a Carlton member for over 30 years, and the benchmark has just dropped dramatically. We're talking about making finals, right, and getting excited. He's got to go. Too little, too late, okay? And if Ross Lyon or Alistair Clarkson take get the role, I can tell you now they'll have the biggest broom of all time going right through that club and get rid of people that are just hanging on. It's too little too late. People forget against Collingwood, up until three-quarter time, we were crap.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. You were poor and you found a way to come home. And maybe if Walsh had been tagged, you wouldn't have come home and it would be a totally different story. But you can argue that on each and every victory. Matt's from Yarrawonga. Welcome to you.
How are you, guys?
Good.
Good, Matt.
Yeah, I'm a David Teague fan, actually.
Yep.
He's coaching well and he's not running out there the ones kicking the goals. And it's proved that on Sunday in that last quarter that we can play.
So you'd reappoint him no matter what, or does he still have work to do between now and the end of the season?
No matter what, I'd reappoint him. We're missing a few good injuries too, which
okay.
is going to improve us again.
So you'd let him run out his contract? That's one all. Thanks, Matt. Nick, fire away.
I'll say no to that. He won't make the finals. So if they lose against North Melbourne by shock, he's gone. But I don't think they'll win the finals. They might win a couple more games, and he's gone.
That's why it's a big game, because the Kangaroos have been playing good footy without necessarily winning. Had a draw against the Giants, had a victory a couple of weeks ago.
Should have beaten the Bombers last week at half time.
George from Swan Hill, welcome to you.
Yeah, g'day, Jared. Now, they've got to keep David. He's done a good job. And look, change for change sake's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Those fellas like Ross Lyon, he's had a few years out. He's an old coach. He's never won a premiership. Stick with what you've got. He's building the club up. They're coming good. You've just got to give the boys. They're a young list of players. They're coming good. Give Teague a go.
George and Swan Hill, give Teague a go. Keep the calls coming, 13-13-32. Hey, Jared, can I just ask you, big hypothetical, take all the background noise out of it. If one of Alistair Clarkson or Ross Lyon said, I'll come and coach you next year, would you take it or would you stay with David Teague?
I'd find it very difficult to knock either of those two guys back.
Yep. I think that's probably a fair assumption. Hey, fellow Aussies, look for the red and blue A at APCO service stations. More sports day coming up. Callum Mills, he's in isolation, Jared. One of those players caught up in the madness of last week. Not able to play this weekend. He's going to join us live from his hotel room shoebox right after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, Cairns' most trusted energy retailer, and the Kia Sorento Drive Car of the Year. Any feedback on your personal phone?
I just got a message from my father, Des.
What's Des been saying?
Des has said you've got some explaining to do. I'll play it to you later, I'll give you an opportunity to have an explanation. But I did notice that Caro said that, from her understanding, Brad Scott's the front runner for the job.
I heard that
at
last
Collingwood.
Night. Yeah.
Well, you told me 2 weeks ago he was a front. Are you telling Caro?
Caro and I never share sources.
Okay.
I would have thought, though, Jared, in all seriousness, next Collingwood coach will be either him or Don Pike.
Okay, fair point. Callum Mills would like to be in the midfield for the Swans, but unfortunately he's in lockdown. Let's find out whereabouts. He joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Callum.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me.
Where are you, in fact?
We're actually in a house in quarantine. In Broadbeach.
Are you by yourself?
No, we're with the four lockdown. We're with the lockdown boys.
Oh,
so we're able to get a house now, so which is nice. So we're in lockdown, obviously, in the house, can't move anywhere.
So is that an Airbnb scenario? They've just had to find somewhere to put you up, so an Airbnb house has come to the rescue.
Yeah, so the club and the AFL organise it all, and here we are, luckily.
Now, Callum, I'm just I'm guessing here, but you and the likes of Toby Green, to me, strike me as polar opposite people. How are you, is that right? And how are you getting on in there?
Oh, no, it's just the Swans boys.
Right. I thought it was a mix, Jared. I thought it was the GWS and the Swans boys got him put into one room altogether.
How are you filling in time, Callum?
Good question. We've actually got a couple of training equipment and stuff dropped off today. So we had a bit of training today and I think we're just, I don't know, you turn into different creatures when you go into isolation. So we're just filling in time. Don't really know how, but it's going slow.
It must have been excruciating in many ways not being part of what was an incredible win last week, but also doing it from isolation.
Yeah, it was really weird, to be honest. We got told about 3 minutes before our normal on-field warm-up.
Yep.
We got pulled into the coach's room and said, "You're a chance not to be playing." And then judging on Charlie and Horse's faces, they were serious. So we're a bit shocked, but the best thing what happened was that we got the win. It was a pretty annoying experience, to be honest, but the fact that the boys got on with it and got a win made everything a lot easier.
Now, Dr. Healy, how quickly would you lose match hardened fitness? Like, could you spend 2 weeks in quarantine
Depends on how hard you're working in there, Callum. So if you haven't got a running machine or a VersaClimber or the like, it's going to be difficult in some respects to keep the muscle memory and the running... the running into the legs where it needs to be.
Yeah, luckily we got a treadmill dropped off today and a couple of bikes, so
yep.
I think we'll be all right. Hopefully, it's only about 10 days all up because of the 4 days we found out afterwards, so hopefully we don't lose too much fitness and we can just get back into it.
Unfortunately, I take it it's not a double story house. You could do intermittent work up and down the stairs.
Yeah, there's a couple of stairs that we can do that. But at the moment, I think we're just sunbaking for a couple of days and then we'll get into it.
Who leads the charge on the fitness work? Who's driving the machine in there?
All of us. I think you go stir crazy when you sit around in a house for too long. So everyone's keen just to get up and get moving and get a bit of a sweat on, which is it's nice because being stuck in the room, not being able to do too much wasn't too nice.
And who's hogging the TV?
No, there hasn't been too much hogging of the TV. There's been some music going on. Harry's had his music playing, which has been nice around the house, but that's about it, really.
Tell us about the transformation of the group this year. I mean, clearly there were some signs late last year, but it's been an extraordinary transformation that's seen you go from, you know, arguably one of the poorer sides in the comp last year to now one of the better sides in the competition.
Yeah, and I think we always aspire to that, especially I think we saw a glimpse of it at the end of last year, our last sort of 5-odd games.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we showed a lot of promise and a lot of signs of good football, and this year we've just been able to string it together a bit more, and you know, people are taking the next step, which really helps in terms of individuals and the team, which has been nice.
Did you pick this up through the pre-season?
No, I think we've definitely carried it over at the end of last year's hub.
Mm.
I think the last 5 games, as I mentioned before, were pretty good. And we've obviously made tweaks in the off-season and things like that that have definitely helped. But, you know, I don't think you can really flick a switch and all of a sudden start playing good football. I think the foundations need to be set over, you know, over pre-season, and we were lucky enough at the back end of last year.
What expectations did you have of Tom Hickey, who, you know, looks like the Mad Monk occasionally, but he's playing unbelievable footy?
Yeah, well, no, it was anything. To be honest, I didn't expect him to come out and be like this, but, you know, he's been really awesome for the group, and he's a bit of the fatherly figure at the moment around mm-hmm. the club, which is great.
Hey, Callum, take the physical stuff away from it. You've got training equipment. What's the one thing that's driving you the craziest or that you're missing the most in quarantine? So for me, it'd be decent coffee. Jared, I don't know what it would be for you. Maybe decent gin.
It'd be freedom, I'd say.
Callum, what's the one thing that's driving you the craziest?
Bar freedom. I reckon, yeah, coffee is a big one.
What's your usual coffee order?
Extra hot flat white.
Oh, he's going with the extra hot, Jared.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's controversial.
Especially the big one as well. Extra hot when you're in a hotel room as well. They obviously deliver it to you and stuff like that. So the extra hot really gets taken away from it, which is what I'm missing. So if we're being picky, that would be it. But to be honest, the AFL and the Queensland Health and the club have been awesome with looking after us. But... you know, I'm looking forward to getting out, that's for sure.
Can I ask you about last week's experience, sitting down watching the TV? I assume that you were able to get to a TV to watch the game. How was your emotions and what was your assessment of the way the Swans were playing in the first 45 minutes of that match?
Oh, it was pretty stressful. The boys, we've had some slow starts this year, but the best thing is we've been able to call them back. But I was definitely stressed after the first quarter, that's for sure. And then when we kicked the last three, I think in the second quarter, we started to change a few things around and we started getting going. And second half, we were on fire, which was really nice to see. Mm. As hard as it was nice to see.
What's going on in the background there? Is that a game of table tennis I'm hearing?
No, it's just the boys in the kitchen.
Chopping up the veggies, ready to go.
Yeah, Harry's gone nuts over there.
What's on the menu tonight?
We've got steak, some sweet potatoes, steaks and some salad.
Oh, very nice, Jerry.
The Wagga Boy special, this one, apparently.
Okay, I like it. Callum, thanks for joining us. I think you get out Tuesday night, so you'll be looking forward to it, I'm sure. Go well in quarantine. We'll see you on the other side.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Callum Mills there, the young Sydney star himself, just going crazier by the day in there, Jared, which we all can empathise with to some degree.
Well, I think those people that have experienced quarantine can sympathise a hell of a lot more than those of us who haven't experienced it.
Mm.
Heaven help us if we have to experience it, but who knows if it's going to be just part and parcel of travel down the track.
Tell you what, if you ever go into quarantine,
won't be good.
They're going to need to find a pool, something that you can swim in, a large spa. Hey, some team headlines. So Ben Cunnington and Jed Anderson both in for that big game that Jared was talking about early against Carlton. Robbie Tarrant is out injured.
He looked injured last week, to be honest.
Jared, if I'm not making this up, it could be Mackay taking on Mackay.
It could be. Indeed. He looked like he had a groin injury last week, Robbie Tarrant.
Josh Shackey and Tom Liberatore are in for the Dogs.
Yep.
So the Dogs are playing Shackey, Ugelhagen, Norton, Bruce.
Stand by for one to be omitted.
Couldn't play all of them.
Wouldn't have thought so.
Jared Berry back for the Lions.
Big in.
Lachie Whitfield is in for the Giants. Now, I've been waiting for this. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Finlayson's been dropped.
Right.
Probably a couple of weeks too late. They've been holding on to him.
Yeah.
I think. And they've dropped him, which is a fairly big call. Dylan Scheel is on Essendon's extended bench.
That's a good name.
Well, he did earlier in the week declare himself fit to play, so that would be great, and back against his old side as well. Gary Rowan and Lachie Henderson named in the Cats' extended squad, and Shane Edwards is back for Richmond, which is a big in for the grand final rematch, Jared.
The Jeremy Finlayson one is of great interest because, I mean, we all know how good his best is.
Yep.
His average is not anywhere near what it should be, but if I'm coaching them, I'm putting Himmelberg at centre-half back.
You love him back.
Maybe Finlayson needs to be trialled at centre-half back as well.
He's quite a nice kick, so that would make sense.
He's a magnificent kick.
And Jesse Hogan could play back as well, but they probably need him up forward at the moment, don't they?
Well, they've got to make a choice. I think they need another key defender.
Yep.
And they're dropping one bloke out of the big three, so Sproul is more than likely to come into that side, which means that eventually Sproul goes in. They've got four. They can trial one of them to bolster their defence.
I'm not sure if you're willing to give this away yet, but I'm intrigued by who you're tipping in that game because you've been on the Giants. Are you giving
Jekyll
them
and Hyde
one more chance?
They are the most
Essendon
unpredictable side in the competition. I'm pondering.
Hasn't made up his mind. Hey, don't forget Spinalese. A great day starts with a good night's sleep. Spinalese.com.au. We're going to give away one to our best caller tonight. More Sports Day right after this. And remember, the Australian Olympic Committee boss, Matt Carroll, not far away. Fair to say that his office would have fielded a few calls, Jared, in the last 12 hours.
He won't play AFL this week. He'll play VFL again, and then we'll progress afterwards. So at this stage, it's tracking well. He looked good last week, and it was great to see him back out there playing.
It's David Teague confirming that Charlie Curnow won't play in his brother's 200th this weekend. Physio Healy, what's the over-unders for how many more weeks Charlie needs in the twos?
Impossible to tell, to be honest. If he's 100% pain-free, well, he's going to need 4 weeks, and therefore he's unlikely to play this year. Right, but it'd be nice to get one or two, if
you
like.
That would be the minimum, 4 weeks in the twos?
Well, you're doing a mini pre-season, aren't you? And now he would have done. He's been doing some work already off the track. But
he's been training fully for a month, they say.
So maybe two games, let's say. Two games. If he's done a mini pre-season into a couple of games, you know, if he got a couple, and they'd be looking at finals and just thinking, like we said at the top, in the off chance we play finals, it'd be great to have him coming in as a big Thursday night inclusion.
It would be a big Thursday night inclusion. I was waiting for this all week. Geelong coach Chris Scott has urged the AFL to explain its quote-unquote ethical framework behind any decision that could deny the Cats a home final at GMHBA Stadium this season.
Yeah, this has been a bugbear of the Cats for what, 5 years?
Yeah, at least.
And, you know, unfortunately, it's hard to work out because the AFL would appear to have different rules for different clubs and different set of circumstances. So, therefore, I think Chris Scott, who's pretty good mates, it's got to be said, with Gil McLachlan, is challenging him on
very
this very, very complex issue. Then an ethical framework, I think, puts it back to Gil to explain.
Do you think you will?
Well, I think he'll be asked a question. It's a question whether or not he will attempt to explain, because any explanation will have holes in it.
And the Aussie spirit, Jared, over in Tokyo, they've beaten Italy 1-0 in their pool match in Fukushima this afternoon. We're going to cross to Tokyo in our for our podcast.
Yep.
We're going to go to the chief COVID reporter, Chanel Vella, as well as the team barista, Jared, most important man, potentially.
Yep, we're going to upgrade into the first hour at some stage down the track.
Or the barista. Yep, he's gone first hour.
Along with Charnel. They're on the ground over there, and we're building our team for the Olympics.
Talking about team, the boss of that team, the CEO of the AOC, Matt Carroll, is going to join us very soon, Jared.
I'll tell you what Chip Legrand has said about John Coates and this much-publicised incident.
Yes, which we'll ask Matt about.
Anyone who has worked with John Coates, man or woman, will understand that Palaszczuk, in the moment, was both laughing and dying inside. So it's been described as an attempt at humour. I'm not sure everybody is believing that, but clearly Chip Legrand has painted a less than complimentary perspective of John Coates, the power broker.
Matt Carroll coming up soon on Sports Day.
The International Olympic Committee has the honour to announce that the Games of the 35th Olympiad are awarded to Brisbane, Australia.
It was such a surreal moment. A couple of times the Lord Mayor and I are sitting there pinching ourselves saying, is this really happening?
Welcome back to Sports Day, the fine workings of Zoe behind the glass there. And that was the moment, Jared, that we brought you last night, that Brisbane officially was awarded the 2032 Games.
Yes, it was an interesting moment. Lots of celebrations and yet lots of people wondering why the big surprise.
I think interesting is the right word, Jared.
Matt Carroll is the Australian Olympic Committee CEO. He's on the ground in Australia, not on the ground in Tokyo. He joins us from Sydney. Welcome to you, Matt.
Evening, gents. How are you?
Oh, we're pretty well. It's been a really interesting 24 hours. A big moment for Australia, a bigger moment for Brisbane, a big moment for the Australian Olympic movement. And yet it's been shrouded in some to a large degree by the interaction between John Coates and the Premier of Queensland. How have you seen it all unfold?
Well, I think first and foremost, you're right. It's a great moment, not just a big moment, a great moment for Brisbane, Queensland and the country. I mean, it's opened up a 10-year sporting runway through the 2032. And as you both know, the power of sports is very important to this country. And so a lot of good things are going to come from this runway. The discussion during the press conference between the Premier and John, I mean, John and the Premier have known each other for a long time and they have a great relationship, hence why the bid for the Games has been successful. And as the Premier's already said, she took no offence and was surprised at the negative commentary. What was missed in the television broadcast was that in the room itself, everyone was laughing.
Yep.
But you couldn't see it because, understandably, everyone had to wear a mask. So you can't quite get that interaction. But as the Premier herself has said, no, she and John are friends. And together, along with the Commonwealth and the mayors of Southeast Queensland, have delivered the third time for Australia, the Olympic Games.
And we want to talk about that, but let's just finish with this other issue because it's being presented very much as an unedifying interaction between the two. Now, I'm told, just reading Chip Legrand's article, and it's a very extensive article, that the ABC News spliced out 20 minutes of interaction and married up her response, which has been widely reported, is I don't want to be embarrassed or don't want to embarrass anybody as a response to John Coates. Was that in fact 20 minutes apart?
Look, I can't answer that question, whether it was 10 minutes, 5 minutes, or 20 minutes. But all I can say to you is, as the Premier has said, and those reporters and media in the room, it was a light-hearted exchange, a bit of sense of humour. It didn't come across that well in that broadcast, but that was the case. And that's why she has said today that she took no offence and was quietly surprised that the negative commentary that's flowed.
Yeah, I think there's going to be more to this, but there's a lot of editorials and a lot of opinion pieces.
If it is 20 minutes apart, Jared, that's a completely different... I mean, that's something being 20 minutes apart as opposed to right after. Mm. They're completely different stories, are they not?
Well, I think they are.
Because I watched it not knowing it was edited to that degree.
John Coates gave Jacqueline Magne an exclusive interview, and in that interview... he is quoted as saying, "I thought she, as in Palaszczuk, may have blown it." And in fact, she's portrayed as a bumbling is the word he used, Premier. So it doesn't appear as if they are on the one page, Matt, and that's unfortunate.
Well, you may say that, others may say it, but the two people aren't saying that. And the Premier, and I don't think anyone described the Premier as bumbling, and John didn't describe as bumbling. What he actually said in that article was he thought they lost because of the debate, but actually what ended up, she brought the Commonwealth on board, and that's why the three levels of government, Commonwealth, state, and local, which was what impressed the International Olympic Committee so much, because other places, other times, there has been a split between levels of government in hosting the Games, but in this case... it's all there. And I think, you know, this a news media conference is being taken out of context to destroy a fantastic moment or overshadow a fantastic moment for the country.
Do you know and do you ever find out which five countries actually voted against the Brisbane bid and who they actually voted for?
No, I don't. And no, we don't. We don't. And remember, it's not five countries. The IOC members are individuals, okay. Right? They're not representing a country or a sport or anything like that nature. They're appointed as individuals. So, obviously, they come from various countries, but they're not representing countries.
Matt Carroll is the boss of the Australian Olympic Committee. Matt, can I just ask, Gracenote, I think, is the name of the data company that has Australia winning 16 golds at this Olympics, just a prediction, and I know that would be very successful if so. What do you look at as what makes this Olympics successful, bar medals?
Well, what we look at, well, as I said, we don't do a medal forecast, and we don't do that because the athletes themselves say it doesn't help. And as I've often said many times, you don't get the coaches of the grand final, the AFL, the NRL forecasting the score before the start of the game.
True.
What we look for is what we look for is we've got a lot of athletes and teams at the top of their game, world rankings. So we think it could be indeed a very successful Games. I mean, and that's not just across the traditional sports of our strength in swimming, which is looking good, and basketball is looking good, but also we've got surfing and skateboarding as well, where we're highly ranked in the world. So I think, it could be really great Games. What will the glory look like? Those who achieve it win medals. That's fantastic. Those that don't quite get the personal best, and those just have a crack. There's some sports we're not going to win a medal in, but our athletes are over there and they're going to have a crack, which is the Australian way.
What we do, though, with Australian AFL coaches, Matt, is we ask them who their favourite players are. So which medal are you most keen on seeing Australia win in Tokyo?
As the CEO of a team where we've got almost 500, I don't pick those. I mean, you know,
Come on,
50,
Matt, you've got a favourite somewhere.
For my sport, I'd love to. If my sport, I'd love to see a couple of gold medals in rugby sevens, where I was before, and it's sailing, But I'd love to see, Edmund Hu is going to representing Australia in table tennis. He is up against the best in the world to achieve it. If he gets his personal best, all glory in his success at his personal best.
We've already lost one athlete, and his name escapes me. And the equestrian rider found guilty of taking cocaine. And unfortunately, we're not going to remember his name because he's blown his opportunity at glory. It must drive you crazy, Matt, putting in so much work to provide an opportunity for guys to excel themselves or excel at their sport, and girls clearly. And yet they get involved in something as stupid as taking an illicit drug, which puts not just their spot at risk, but also knocks other people who are trying to live their dream.
Oh, look, it is very disappointing. And the athlete himself has said he's disappointed himself. He's let down. His family have no doubt put a lot of effort into it all. The sport, Equestrian Australia have an investment by the AIS as well. And as you quite rightly, the disappointing thing, we're trying to save the two female athletes, their positions, so that they can continue in the games. And Equestrian Australia and ourselves are working on that as we speak, because it would be very disappointing if they get knocked out as well.
Matt, can I just get your take on Kaylee McEwen, who is the world number one in the 200 IM, and she's pulled out of it to concentrate on the 100-metre and 200-metre backstroke events. In the words of her coach, though, it's a big call.
Well, it is, but she and the coach came to that conclusion, where she wants to achieve her best. I'm not an Olympic swimmer, and we trust in her decision and also her coach's decision. So we would believe that's in the best interest of her to achieve what she's aiming for. And, yep, we might say have a crack at everything, but, you know, sometimes it's best to, you know, focus, and that's what they're doing.
Matt, great to have you on. Looking forward to talking to you about each and every one of the 16 gold medals we're going to win, according to Grace Note.
So okay, what's your prediction, guys?
Yeah, I think we'll win 16 gold and 40 medals overall.
We had John Burton on a couple of weeks ago, and he openly declared that swimming will get us off to a great start, but sailing will, with swimming, be the heroes.
And I keep an eye on the rowers as well in the first week.
Good on you, Matt. Matt Carroll there is the boss of the AOC, speaking to us live in Sydney. We'll be right back on Sports Day after this.
It is not Sam's 100% desire to coach in tandem with Alistair Clarkson next year. It might be today, after meetings have been held since that meeting. And I might add, Ed, some of those meetings have been held without Alistair Clarkson present. It is just patently not true for Sam to say there are not leaks coming out of Hawthorn. I've never seen Hawthorn leak like this. And Sam should be very careful about what he says about his premiership coach, as I'm hearing back that he's been saying to people at that football club, he should just be careful.
Well, that was Caro throwing petrol on the fire last night. Pretty strong stuff. Direct message to Sam Mitchell. How did you read that one?
Well, Caro doesn't...
You've been involved in this thing deeper than most.
I was watching that last night and I thought, she doesn't usually get involved in direct conversations with people.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that as Sam had a crack at her on Jared Waitley's show yesterday and basically said she was misinformed.
Yep.
And she had a crack back and said, I mean, I took that to be that she's hearing from people that Sam's saying not so nice things about Alistair Clarkson. Yeah, well, that's what she said, wasn't it? It's pretty inflammatory stuff.
Yes, no doubt there'll be questions asked of Alistair Clarkson next time he's up, which I think is a press conference.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Do you take Ross Lyon's point of view that he said last night that he thought it was the silence of Alistair Clarkson was deafening this week, that only one party decided to come and clear?
No, I don't, because Clarko has got an opportunity to speak tomorrow. And
I think
if Clarko had have jumped, he would have looked defensive, and I think he will. I think Clarko will probably try and just dismiss the thing tomorrow
and move on. 10 o'clock tomorrow. You can almost write his answers. What it'll say. It'll be, I've said this before, I don't know why I'm being asked this again. I've committed to coaching Hawthorn next year, and that's what's going to happen.
The other thing that came out last night, and before 7 o'clock, we'll just address it very quickly, was an update from Eddie on the debacle, as he called it, of Collingwood.
Because I'm starting to hear Tammany Hall shenanigans happening around the place, of stacking and branching and threatening and all this other routine that I thought I'd exterminated out of Collingwood 23 years ago. And the only thing that will bring me back to the fray is if I see people vandalising the Collingwood Football Club. There have been too many lunatics running around the fringes in the last 6 months, and we're not copping it anymore. So that is it. The only objective from now on is only the best for Collingwood. It worked for 23 years.
Oh, he was fired up last night.
Indeed he was. That's the first time I've listened to it in its entirety.
So he was talking about the Galbellies?
Yes.
Clearly.
Was it a sort of a veiled threat that he is coming back?
I didn't take it as that. I know that a few reporters wrote that up as it. I didn't watch it thinking that, Jared. Did you listen to that thinking he's certain to come back?
Well, I think he opened that door there just with that. Now, whether or not... Eddie will have another opportunity to explain himself, but...
So they've got the AGM December 16.
Yeah.
Does Mark Gorder stay?
Well, I think he's in front at the present time. I think the Jeff Brown push has lost momentum.
I was wrong about that one, Jared. You were right a few months ago. Well, as it presently stands, the race looks like Cord is in front.
At this stage, I mean, I think Jeff Brown is going to have to make a lot of hay, and the sun ain't shining at the present time.
Back on gin and tonics tonight, or are we still off?
No.
Unbelievable effort from you.
Strong.